I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. The history of the West African nation of Liberia is closely linked to the history of the United States. Modern Liberia was a U.S. creation, a colony for the resettlement of freed American slaves. Journalist Helene Cooper's great-great-great-great-grandfather was one of the freed slaves who first colonized Liberia. He was aboard Liberia's own version of the Mayflower. The ship was called the Elizabeth. It set sail from New York Harbor in 1820. Cooper's family not only helped found Liberia, it was also part of the elite that governed the country for more than a century. But things changed drastically for the Coopers and Liberia in 1980. That's when a group of soldiers led by Samuel Doe overthrew the Liberian government. Helene Cooper writes about her family's experiences in Liberia in a new memoir. It's called The House at Sugar Beach in Search of a Lost African Childhood. Helene Cooper, the book starts with an idyllic story about your childhood in Liberia, building up to this tragic civil war that you fled. What sort of childhood did you have growing up at Sugar Beach, the family home?
You know, I was very sheltered to the rest of the world outside, and for me, everything that was going on around me seemed pretty normal. My parents, and this was very common in Liberia, they went to the native Liberians and got me a sister. So Eunice came to live with us.
Now, your sister, your foster sister, Eunice, was, as you write, country people, not Congo people. And as you just pointed out, there were many country children who were adopted by Congo people. Explain the difference between country people and Congo people and just how that distinction affected you if you were Congo people during the war.
It's so ingrained in Liberia. You know, the descendants of the freed blacks are called the Congo people for very convoluted reasons that have to do with Britain abolishing the slave trade, you know, at the turn of the century and returning a lot of these slave ships to Freetown and to Liberia as well, because most of these slave ships entered the Atlantic Ocean from the mouth of the Congo River. These freed slaves became known throughout West Africa as Congo people. It's a somewhat derogatory term, but we sort of felt like we got the native Liberians back by calling them country people, which was far more derogatory in our eyes. Growing up in Liberia, being Congo meant you were the elite. You had a fairly good chance of being light-skinned. A lot of the Congo people look more like black Americans today than pure Africans because they were coming from the United States, so there was a lot of dilution. It was very much a classist system that had started to break down as I was growing up, but I definitely grew up as sort of a little princess.
Now, after Samuel Doe overthrew President Tolbert, his soldiers rounded up Tolbert loyalists and employees with an eye out for Congo people. They came to your home at Sugar Beach looking for your father. He wasn't there, but they lined you and the other women at the house up against the wall. They pulled Eunice off the line because she clearly wasn't Congo people. What were your thoughts when that happened?
It's so weird to think back to that. I didn't think at first. There was this instant of betrayal, but I was also mostly just really, really frightened and had no idea what was about to happen. It all happened so fast. You know, we're standing out there and then they announce, okay, we're going to line you up against the wall and splatter your blood against this wall like paint and then shot above our heads. And they pulled Eunice back when she went to join us and said, not you. And it all happened in like, one, two, three. And I never even got to the point where I thought, oh, they're about to kill us, because it was in a lot of ways over before my brain had actually processed what had happened.
That same day, this horrific moment in your life occurs. The soldiers raped your mother after she bargains with them not to rape you and your two sisters. You write that when you think about bad things, and I assume that's one of them, you cover them up with superficial thoughts to stamp them out. But could you tell us, what was the long-term trauma from this absolutely shocking episode for you, your mother, your sisters?
My family, shortly after that, we ran away, and we ran away to the United States. I was 14 by then. We never got therapy. We didn't hide it because it was something that was out there, but we didn't sit down and have long talks about it at all. My mother was very much of the, you brush yourself off and you go on, and I got to get these kids out of here, and I got to get them into school, and I've got to provide for them. And my father was trying to do the same thing. And I think part of that kind of rubbed off on me. I was really traumatized, and I focused when I got to the States more on the trauma of being suddenly the new girl from Africa at a giant school in first Knoxville, Tennessee, and then Greensboro, North Carolina. And it almost seemed as if it was much easier for me to focus on that and how miserable I was than what had just happened.
Now, after the coup, and your family flees Liberia for Knoxville, Tennessee, and later Greensboro, as you said, Eunice was left behind in Liberia. She stayed behind. And you didn't return to Liberia for another 23 years. That was after covering the invasion of Iraq in 2003 that you decided to go back. Why then, and why did it take so long?
I think it took so long for me to go back home because I was in a lot of ways, I was in denial. By 1990, when Charles Taylor invaded in 1989 and the Civil War started, I was so devastated by the images that were coming out of Liberia that I basically just shut it off. The only way I felt that I could deal with the horrors that I was seeing on the nightly news, where you have these child soldiers and you have these women being raped. And there's, I still remember this one video footage of this woman who watched her mom being burned in a mattress soaked with gasoline and burned to death. I'm actually really ashamed to admit this, but the only way I felt that I could deal with it was if I cut it off. It was almost as if I felt that if I killed everybody in Liberia, then it wouldn't hurt me when they died. And that's what I did. And I think the chickens all came to roost when I was in Iraq in 2003. Everything just sort of like blew up. And it was sort of amazing when it happened. But there was this moment of clarity that I had turned my back on my country. I had turned my back on one of the people I loved most in life. And I also felt that, you know, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was, but I knew I needed to be home.
So you go back to Liberia, you reunite in this emotional scene with Eunice, and you convince her to go with you to Sugar Beach to see what remains. And you find a house that was allegedly used for executions following the coup, and now it's invaded by squatters. What was that like? How did you respond to that?
I felt like I was coming back to grips with a childhood that I'd lost, and I was getting it back. But it was so different from what it was like when we grew up there that in some ways I also felt like I was completely violated. To see this house where we were so happy, completely stripped, there were all these violent, conflicting emotions in me. I'd lived in the United States and become PC and looked back now with, not shame is the wrong word, but some discomfort at the class system that I benefited from. And all of a sudden, you know, I was protesting apartheid in South Africa and all of that. And now I'm back here in Liberia and I'm facing not just what my family did, but, you know, also what made me who I am. So there were all these conflicting emotions rushing through me. I think the one that hit me and Eunice the most was just, you know, we went downstairs back into the basement where my mother had been attacked. And that was incredibly moving because we had been too afraid to go down there afterwards, the day of the rape. And that was, you know, walking through that room and thinking, this is where my mom made a stand. This is where she stood and she protected us. And this is where she fought for us to remain kids. And even though, you know, my childhood was in many ways killed that day, she still won because Eunice and I were still standing there 23 years later and we were okay.
Hillian Cooper is the diplomatic correspondent for the New York Times. Her new memoir is called The House at Sugar Beach in Search of a Lost African Childhood. Really nice to speak with you. Thank you very much.
Nice talking to you too, Marco.